This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
We've been in a series called The Seven, and today is the last message in that series. And we're going to look, first of all, at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. If you are new with us, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It's literally the revelation of Jesus Christ, where Jesus revealed himself to the churches, revealed himself to the Apostle John, and we have the inspired word of God now that we can connect with and see that not just were these letters sent to these seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 for the church in Ephesus and Smyrna and Philadelphia, etc., but they are actually for every single one of us, for our church, for our families, and for us as individuals. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And then jump down with me to verse 11. "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Verse 17, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Do you guys see a pattern yet, just as we're rolling through this? Why don't you look at verse 29. "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And we could go on in chapter 3, the church in Sardis, the church in Philadelphia, and the church in Laodicea. The same statement said at the end of each of these seven letters, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, each one of these letters, as you have seen over the course of these last number of weeks, are unique, right? There are unique descriptions that Jesus gave of himself. There are unique challenges. There are unique admonitions. There are unique pieces of encouragement that he gave each and every church and to us. But yet he ended every single letter with the same statement: "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It must be important. Let's pray. Lord, we humble ourselves before you because we know that that opens the door. It opens the door for you to pour into us knowledge and revelation and encouragement that we need today. And Lord, I pray that when we leave today, we'll be ready to move forward in what you're speaking to us this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. They say that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Now, technically, I don't think that's accurate. However, I have found that there's a little bit of truth to that. You know, guys, whether you've been married, you are married, you talk to a girl on the kickball team in elementary school, you kind of get that there's a difference there between men and women. You kind of get that sometimes there can be misunderstandings. How many wives have ever felt like your husband misunderstood you? Just a few, right? Pretty much 100%. Husbands, it would be the same thing. There are times when you're like, I think I know what she's saying, but I'm not quite for sure, and there's a misunderstanding that takes place. When Lacey and I first got engaged, we knew there was a big thing we had to decide on, we had to come together on, and that is, when would the ceremony be? When would we get married? And so we began discussions, and we didn't really see eye to eye on it as we were thinking different ways, because I'm a guy and she's a gal, right? And so we're talking it through, trying to figure it out. And basically, it boiled down to she really wanted to get married in December. That was coming up, a number of months away. But she wanted to get married in December. She couldn't wait any longer. She was just so excited to get married. She's just like, I have to get married. And so December was when she wanted to get married. And I was saying the summer. And I was referring to the following summer. I wanted to get married. I loved her. I was committed to her. But I was thinking, you know, trying to think logically as a young guy. I was like, you know, we got to think about the finances. Where are we going to live? We have to, you know, at least maybe I could finish school by that point, college. And then it would be better even if she's finishing school. And so I'm trying to think of all these logical things. I'm trying to explain them all to her. And we continued conversation for a while. And I still remember this. We were sitting in the vehicle, and we're having this discussion, when are we going to get married? And I remember I said to her, okay, I think we should get married in the summer. And for whatever reason, she thought I said, I think we should get married in December. I said the summer, she thought December. And I know that they sound somewhat similar. And I remember all of a sudden she got really happy. And I'm like, and so literally we walked away from that conversation and both of us were excited. She was excited because I finally saw the light, you know, that December is the time to get married. And I walked away totally relieved, like she finally saw the logic in waiting until the summer. Now, that was a misunderstanding. And it took us a little while to dig up out of that one. And it wasn't the last misunderstanding we've ever had. Now she totally reads my mind and, you know, does everything that I want. And, you know, it's totally like that. Absolutely joking. Absolutely joking about that. We still have misunderstandings. I mean, they happen between bosses and employees, right? They happen between teachers and the kids. They happen between spouses. They happen between parents and kids, and kids and parents. There are things that are missed. I thought I told you to take out the trash. I didn't hear you. I thought I said the homework was due today. Didn't hear you. Right? We could go on and on and on. Didn't hear it. I missed it. And it's not because the ears are not at work. It's not because the ears are taking a day off, because our ears, biologically speaking, are going 24/7. And according to the apologeticpress.org, there are approximately 30,000 hair cells in your ears, located in the inner ear. And what happens is sound comes in and it causes a vibration of those 30,000 some odd hair cells. And then from there, the hair cells are connected to nerve cells. And these nerve cells are then connected to the brain. So they say approximately 30,000 of these nerve cells, and they're connected to the hair cells, which then send data to the brain. And that's good, because since that all happens, and if it happens, then our brain can help to bring us to the understanding that, oh, there's a sound of a kid crying, or there's a warning over here, or someone just said, I love you, or there's a wave coming in at the ocean, or Lake Michigan. You have these sounds translated to where you can actually compute what it is and enjoy it. So the ears are not necessarily the problem. There's got to be some other thing that's happening that can be a disconnect when someone says something to you, and then later on they say, didn't I tell you that? And you're like, I didn't hear you. I have no idea what you're saying. There's something called selective hearing, right? That common phenomenon where we target our focus on one stimulus and we don't hear the other thing. We basically hear what we want to hear. And Jesus, in talking to each of these seven churches, said to them, whoever has ears, I mean, that was all of them. They weren't earless churches, okay? There weren't people like, oh, this is the church of no ears. It wasn't like that. They all had ears, but Jesus thought it necessary to say, whoever has ears, let them hear. Let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let them get it. Let them dig in a little deeper. Let them lean in a little closer to what I'm saying. You'd think it would be enough that Jesus is speaking. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got a letter in the mail this week from Jesus, I hope that you would read it and read it again and tell people about it. Even if it is challenging or it's encouraging, I hope that you would engage with it. And these churches were receiving a message straight from Jesus, the King on the throne. And still, at the end of it, Jesus found it necessary to say, okay, I've said all these things, and I am Jesus. Listen up. Lean in. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What Jesus said was so important, he didn't want them to miss it. He didn't want them to miss even one word of what he was trying to say. And if you go through Scripture, you see that the Lord has gone to great lengths to get his message out. And he goes to great lengths to speak even to you as an individual. Great lengths. He's done so much to make that happen. He's given us creation. The psalmist says, the heavens declare his glory, and the skies proclaim his handiwork. They're, all of creation is speaking every single day. Are you listening? Speaking of him, pointing to him. Hebrews says that in the past, God spoke through the prophets. We have the Old Testament prophets. He spoke through them at many times and in various ways so that we could hear what God is saying. Adam spoke to God in the garden. God spoke to Moses face to face, Scripture says, as one would speak to a friend. God wanting to speak to humanity and God not wanting humanity to miss what he's trying to say. That Hebrews passage I just referenced a moment ago goes on to say, but now he has spoken to us through the Son, through Jesus Christ. And we have the life and the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, fulfillment of the Old Testament, that speak to us about who he is and speak to us about what he desires from us and how he would have us to live. I mean, we go on and the Lord gave us the scriptures, right? The Holy Scriptures right here. The inspired word of God. We're talking around 40 authors who wrote the Bible in the course of his around 15 to 1600 years. And it is one story about God. And we have access to it. Most of us in this place have multiple points of access to. We have our phone, we have the iPad, you have the computer, you have the paper Bible. You might have that like times five in your house. We have access to the Word of God. Why? Because God is wanting to speak to us. And then, if that wasn't enough, Jesus says, when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to speak to you, and he's going to remind you of everything that I said and did. We are walking around and as a believer, being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only do we have a Bible that we can carry around, but we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, reminding us what God is saying. Reminding us what God is saying. But the sad reality is with all that God has done to speak to us and to get his message out to us on a daily basis, still there are times when we miss it. There are times when we don't get it. There are approximately 15 billion ears on planet Earth. That's a lot of ears. But not all of those physical ears are spiritual ears. You're not born with spiritual ears. You can't buy it online on Amazon.com. It can't happen. You can't just one day wake up, man, I've got spiritual ears and I can hear everything that God is saying. No, spiritual ears are developed. And we need to develop them, otherwise we miss it. And is it possible for you, is it possible for you to miss what God is trying to say? It must have been for these seven churches because he made it clear. Guys, I've said all this, that's not enough. Guys, listen. Whoever has ears, spiritual ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to every single one of you. Is it possible to miss it? In 2007, a columnist for the Washington Post decided to do an experiment during the morning rush hour in Washington, D.C., and he used a man named Joshua Bell. Well, on that cold January day at the L'Enfant Plaza metro station, Joshua Bell began to play his 300-year-old, $3.5 million Stradivarius violin. For 45 minutes, he played six classical pieces as 1,097 people passed by. No one knew it, but the fiddler standing against a bare wall outside the metro at the top of the escalators was one of the finest classical musicians in the entire world. He was playing some of the most elegant music ever written on one of the most valuable violins ever made. The question this columnist was asking is, would people notice? Would they enjoy it? Would they treasure it? Or would they miss it? Check out this short little video clip of what happened on that day. Of the 1,097 people who passed by in that busy metro station in Washington, D.C., only seven actually stopped to listen. And Joshua Bell only received just a hair over $32 in tips. Now, put this in context. 3 days before he had appeared at the metro station, Joshua Bell had filled the house at Boston Staley Symphony Hall, where merely pretty good seats went for $100. 2 weeks later, at the Music Center at Strathmore, he would play to a standing room only audience, so respectful of his artistry that they stifled their coughs until the performance was over. 1,090 individuals missed out, and many even passed by within 3 feet of where he played. Many of them that passed by never even turned their head. You know, in the hustle and bustle of life with deadlines and schedules and responsibilities, I have found that I can sometimes miss what God is trying to say. Because of life, I can miss out on what God is wanting to say. I can miss out on the hope that he's wanting to pour into my life that morning that I need for that day. I've missed out sometimes on his purposes for that day, of the opportunities that he wants me to seize, of the encouragement that I need, of the promises that I'm going to need to stand on that very day. And we have this God that's wanting to speak into our lives, timely words, things that we need, things that we don't even know we need, but he knows we need, in times when we miss it. And so this morning, can we think about this? How do we keep from missing it? How do we keep on a daily basis from missing out on what God is wanting to speak to us? The first one I would say is this. We need to lean in toward the speaker. If you're trying to listen to someone talk and you can't really hear them, what do? You kind of lean and trying to get a little closer. You're in a room with a lot of noise. You want to lean in. Maybe you press the phone a little harder against your ear. You turn up the volume. You lean in toward the speaker. Seven times in the Gospels, seven different times, Jesus actually used the same phrase. Whoever has ears to hear, he actually used it in his teaching and preaching ministry. Seven times. Here's an example of one of those. It's in Matthew chapter 11. Some people have come to Jesus and they're asking him about John the Baptist. I'll explain. It says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Now, for those of you that might not be aware of who John the Baptist is, John the Baptist was what some would describe as a crazy guy, a crazy person. He dressed weird. He ate locusts. I mean, who does that? And not only that, he lived out in the wilderness. And my guess is the reason why he lived out in the wilderness was just because the people in the villages didn't want him to live there. He didn't fit in. And so he was outside in the wilderness. But yet, when this man, John the Baptist, would preach, crowds would come. Not because of what he looked like, not because of what he ate, not because of what he sounded like. It was because of the power of God coming through him. He spoke with authority. And his messages were straight up convicting. I mean, you couldn't just walk by John the Baptist's preaching and just, yeah, I'm going to go play basketball. No. People were captivated because there was so much authority in his voice, and it was so convicting in their spirits. And Jesus talks to these people about John the Baptist, and I think he begins to affirm that John the Baptist is the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah prophesied and Malachi prophesied that there would be one coming, the voice of one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord. There was one that was going to come before the Messiah, before the Savior showed up on the scene. There was going to be one that was going to prepare the way. And Jesus takes this opportunity to affirm to these people, John the Baptist was the guy, okay? He was the one that came before the Messiah. All the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah, or he is the front runner. He's the herald. He's the one that was going to come before the Messiah. And at first glance, you kind of see that Jesus is celebrating John the Baptist. JB, way to go. JB's the guy. He's the one that the law and the prophets are talking about. And it seems like he's celebrating John the Baptist. But then he ends that little discourse with those words, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Maybe there's more than meets the eye. Maybe there was more that Jesus was trying to get across to the hearers that day than just, JB is an awesome dude and he did what God told him to do. I believe there was. Think about this. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them lean in to who's talking. Let them lean in to the one who has the mic, so to say, back then as he was speaking. Let them lean in toward the speaker. Let them lean in toward the one who has the message. Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. If John the Baptist was the front runner, if John the Baptist was the one that was to come before the Messiah, if John the Baptist said about Jesus, look, he's the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sin of the world. If John the Baptist, the entire ministry had been pointing to Jesus Christ, and Jesus is saying, look at JB, look at John the Baptist, he was the front runner. He's the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. He is the one that's going to come before the Messiah. What was Jesus saying to that crowd that day? Look, guys, I'm talking about John the Baptist, but whoever has ears, let him hear. Who am I? Jesus is saying, look, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. I'm the one that John the Baptist was talking about, that he was preaching about, that he was the front runner for. I'm the one. And I wonder on that day how many of those people got it. I wonder when Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear. I wonder how many leaned in a little bit closer, trying to connect the dots. And I wonder how many walked away and they had no clue. That was a great message about John the Baptist. But I wonder if there were a few others, maybe one, two, three, that got it. If John the Baptist was coming before the Messiah, then this Jesus is the Messiah. And on that day, I wonder how many maybe just dropped to their knees and just had to say, praise you, Jesus. You're the one. How do we keep from missing what God is wanting to say to us on a daily basis? We lean in. We lean in toward the speaker. We lean in toward the Messiah, the King. And that's worship, is it not? I mean, not just singing songs on a Sunday morning, but even every day of taking that time to let God arrest our attention. Let God captivate our attention. Give ourselves wholly to him for a time. Say, it's all about you, God. I worship you. Whether you have a song playing from Spotify or not, you are just, I'm worshiping you, God. You're leaning in toward the speaker. Secondly, how do you keep from missing out on what God's wanting to say to you? I would give you this. You need to learn his language. You need to learn his language. You see, we speak human. God speaks God. It's like in Isaiah where the Lord says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Our thoughts and ways are down here. His are skyrocketing up there. How do we understand that? How do we keep from missing that, the glory of his revelation? Well, we've got to learn his language. God talks a little bit different than we talk. We've got to learn what he's saying so that we don't miss it, so we don't misunderstand what he's trying to get across to us on a daily basis. When Lacey and I moved to France many years ago, it was to learn the language of French. And so we jumped into it, and we started hearing about the different keys to learning a new language, and we tried to format our lives around that so that we could learn many keys, but one of the keys in particular that I really grabbed hold of was that I needed to listen, listen, listen. I had to listen to this new language. I had to listen to it, otherwise I was never going to be able to speak it. And so I jumped in. I mean, that year of my life up to that point was the hardest I had ever worked in my life. I was in listening to French sermons from decades before, just listening to them. At first, I was like, I have no idea what they're saying. Sounds cool. But I thought, caught a word? No, I didn't catch a word. Okay. I'm listening to French sermons. We're on the streets. I'm listening. We're in stores getting a baguette, and I'm listening. I'm listening to the professors. I would listen online to Radio France International just because I wanted just to hear. I wanted to listen. I even, on my lunch hour at times, would watch Little House on the Prairie in French. Yes, it exists. I mean, listen, listen, listen. I had to listen to get my ears acclimated to this different language. And if I didn't do that, there's no way I was ever going to speak it. There's no way I was ever going to live it. There's no way I was ever going to impact someone with it. I had to listen. Man, I'm telling you, none of us want to miss out on what God's saying. And if that's the case, then we've got to learn his language. Proverbs says to apply your heart to instruction and your ears to understanding. Apply yourself to that. The New Testament says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Going after it. Applying yourself to it so that we can learn his language, because his language is different than our language. We got to get in there to learn, what is he saying? I know he wants to speak to me, and I know I don't want to miss it, so I better lean in each and every day and worship to him. And I better start learning his language, like not just reading it once, but like consistently getting in the word and learning what he's trying to say. Thirdly is this. We need to live his culture. You lean in toward the speaker. You go after learning the language, his language. And then there's this whole concept of living his culture. Of not just reading words, but in life, through living it out, understanding how it changes us and how it affects us. A culture is basically the shared beliefs, the shared values, the shared attitudes of a people. And often we've taken students on mission trips to different countries, and if it's a Spanish-speaking country, inevitably we have some students that basically tell us they're fluent. They're like, I took Spanish 1, 2, and 3, okay, high school level, and I've got Spanish down, and I can speak Spanish, and you know, if you need an interpreter, I'm right here. You know what I'm saying? And so they might not say that, but there's such a confidence just oozing from them, like, I have conquered Espanol, okay? And then we take them on the airplane and we get them into the country and they're silent. They're silent. Because the things that were in the book, the things that were in that study material are different out here. I mean, I don't have to say when I go into this country on a missions trip, do you know where the library is? I mean, nobody says that. The man ate a piece of bread. You don't say that when you're in schools, right? Doing assemblies. You don't say that on the street. It just doesn't work like that. And what these young people understand is that there's more to language than just memorizing a verb tense or a verb conjugation, or a word, right? There's way more. There's something called culture, which is all the nuances and all the humor and all the ways of doing things. I have news for you. The king has a culture all his own. It's different than human culture, no matter what country you're in. There's a kingdom culture. Jesus came in preaching the kingdom of God, the domain of the king. In other words, the rule and the reign of the king. Jesus came in preaching and teaching that, and it was a new language, and it was a new culture. I mean, Jesus flipped things around for these people. Their heads were spinning so fast, they didn't know what just happened. And once again, in another instance, Jesus uses that phrase, whoever has ears, let them hear. And it's at the end of this discourse on the cost of discipleship, right here, Luke chapter 14, where Jesus says, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. And Jesus came and preaching the kingdom, this new culture where you value kingdom things and eternal things and not temporal things, where you seek first his kingdom, where you forgive others and you don't judge and you serve others and you forgive others, all these things. And it is a brand new culture. And the people were like, ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know that I want to be about that. Where Jesus was calling them to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Oh, I don't know if I'd rather choose that on my own. Jesus is like, no, this is the kingdom. It's not a democracy here. This is the rule and the reign of the king. And the king has his own culture. The king has his own culture. And how in the world do we keep from missing what God is speaking to us? Well, we lean in toward the speaker, right? Toward the one that is saying. We take time, hopefully every day, when we're spending time just worshiping him, where he's got our attention, and we're learning his language as we're spending time in the word. It's consistent. It's part of our life. We're learning his thoughts and his ways. And we then put it into practice. We become a doer of the word. We begin to live his culture. If we don't live his culture, learning his language doesn't really help you out too much. And if you're not wanting to learn his language and who he is, then are you really leaning toward the speaker? Are you really leaning toward him? It all goes together, leaning toward him, learning his language through his word, and then living out the culture. And in this message, which is the last message of this series, it is like a bookend to what we began with. And I don't expect you to remember what the very first message was on, okay? But I want to remind you, the very first message, actually, of this series was going back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." Blessed are those who hear it. Blessed are those who read it aloud. Blessed are those who hear it. Blessed are those who lean in toward the speaker. Okay? Blessed are those who read it aloud. They learn his language. And then it goes on to say, blessed are those who take to heart what they've just learned, what they've just heard. What is it talking about? It's talking about living it out, where it becomes part of you, where you're stepping into God's promises. God's promises are only words until you live it out. The challenges that he has in your life are just words until you live it out, until you obey, until you process through those things, and it becomes part of who you are. Just knowing some things in Scripture is not going to help anybody else. It's when you live it out and you become a living example of Jesus for the people that are around you and for your family members. We live out his culture. How do you keep from missing out? You lean in toward the speaker, and guess what? You won't miss his presence. Tomorrow, you learn his language, and you're not going to miss his promises. On Tuesday, you live his culture, and you're not going to miss his purposes that he has for you on that day. The prophet Isaiah says several things, one of which is that he wakens us morning by morning like one being instructed. He opens my ears. And then he says this, let's put it up on the screen. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. How many want that to be the story of your life? I'm talking about the rest of today. Going through your life, doing what you need to do, the responsibilities, the deadlines, the schedules, and there being a voice behind you, whether you turn to the right or to the left, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Here's the hope that you need. Here's the opportunity that you need to seize. Here's the joy that I have for you. Here are the promises that I have for you. Here are the alerts and the warnings that I need to give you in your life. Wow. A voice behind you. Man, I don't want to miss that voice. I don't want to miss it. There's an acronym that has become somewhat more common in our culture. It's FOMO, FOMO, and this acronym has actually become part of certain dictionaries. Like Oxford Dictionary now has this as a word. And here's what it means. Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. And this fear, this phobia, is driving people to do crazy things. It's driving them to be on their phones a lot. It's driving them to be aware of what's happening. They don't want to miss out on what's happening. I tell you what, I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to miss out today, tomorrow, and the next day on what God wants to speak to you, on the things that he wants to reveal to you, on the things that he wants you to discover. I don't want you to miss out on his voice as you're getting ready to make a big choice or a small choice, and you hear that voice behind you saying, no, this is the way, walk in it, my son. This is the way, my beloved, walk in it. I want you to experience that. There are a number of you in this place that I'm sure consistently are doing these things. Daily, even, you're leaning in toward the speaker, you're learning his language, and you are living out his culture. And I want to just encourage you and challenge you to keep going. All right? Keep it up. Especially even as we think about the next 21 days. Would you, over the next 21 days, dig in even deeper? Well, I'm already praying. Pray more. I'm already spending time in the Word. Learn more. Well, I'm already living out his culture. Ask God to use you even more. Would you, over the next 21 days, lean in even more? Because here's the reality. There is always more. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There is always more. And for those that are here this morning that you would say, you know what? Actually, it's been a while since I've been really seeking God and been in the Word and been in prayer. Maybe it's something I used to do, but it's not real consistent in my life right now. Or maybe for those who are here that would say, I don't do that. I don't do that. We have something for you this morning that we want to give you, and it'll happen whenever we leave the service in a few moments. It's going to be a card, and on that card, it's going to say, My Next Steps. And on the back, it has a website link, mydaily21.com. And the reason why we're giving this to you is to help you, if you're not already leaning in, learning his language, and living out his culture, we want to help you do that. And so Lacey has gone through the Gospel of Mark, and she has pulled out observation questions and some application questions and also some prayer starters for us as we go through the next 21 days. And as you engage with this, you're going to see that, man, I can do this. You're going to see this is helping me know Jesus more. This is helping me be more like Jesus. This is a website link, so you're going to be able to have it on your phone right there. Just one swipe per day, right? Going through there, the passage to read, and then things to focus on that day. I'm telling you what, it is a great, great resource. You can obviously get onto it on your computer, your iPad, or any other device like that. You can print it off if you want to. It's formatted like that. But it is something where when you leave, you can grab one of these cards. We're going to give one to everybody, and you're like, I already know God, and I don't need it. You're still getting one. We're going to like put one in your pocket, okay? You're getting it. Now, you don't have to use it, but you are getting one this morning when you leave. These ushers don't mess around, I'm telling you right now. So you're going to have that, and we invite you, if you're not already spending time with the Lord consistently, to take that and to log on, and today to start. Would you start with me today? I want to be in there as well. Going through the Gospel of Mark, say, God, I want to know you more. There might be some of you here that you don't have a relationship with the Lord and you're still checking out the claims of Christ. You're getting one of these too. And I encourage you today, fold open, read Mark chapter 1. Start thinking through some of these questions. It's our desire that everyone in this place and this community comes to a place where they find out who Jesus is and they receive him into their life and they experience peace with God. We want that for you. Would you please bow your heads? Before we leave this morning, I want to give opportunity for those that are here that would honestly say you're not right with God. Like in that honest gut level, transparent moment, you would say, you know, I'm not for sure if I am in right relationship with God, but I want to be. I want to be in right relationship with God. And I tell you what, I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning. But what I would ask is if you are not in right relationship with God and you want to be in right relationship with God, we want to pray with you. We want you to see that there is salvation that comes through Jesus Christ as you have heard this entire service. There is hope. There is peace. There is reconciliation or right relationship with God that is possible for you even this morning. And so for those that are here that would say, I'm not in right relationship with God, honestly, but I want to be. Would you just lift up a hand right where you're at? Yes. Is there anybody else? You lift up a hand. Keep it up there. Just so I want to see it so I can pray with you. Anybody else? You lift up a hand. Okay. Is there anybody else? You lift up a hand. Anybody else? Well, here's what we're going to do. For those that lifted a hand, we're going to pray with you. We're going to ask everybody here to join with us. Would you do that? And so whether you're a believer this morning or you're one of those that raised their hand together, would you repeat after me a prayer that says, Jesus, I need you. That's what it's saying. Jesus, I need you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you today knowing I'm a sinner, knowing that I'm not right with you, but I want to be. So I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for me and that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave, proving that you are God. Now I place my trust in you and I commit to follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next step, visit our website at cccmidland.com.